Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Yes, good shepherd, may we abide in your house forever. May we see that you have done for us what we could not and cannot do for ourselves. Help us to see that wonderful relationship we have with you, because you sent your one and only Son to be our shepherd, to die for the sheep. And so in his name we come together this day. Amen. Human perspective wants a utopia world. We all look for a better time and a better place. And the first reading, and also I was thinking about it, we're singing that last hymn, because it's based on Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is a psalm we all know and love and read. It is because it gives us that rather assurance of that eternal presence of our God and being one of them, that place almost of a utopia. And as you read the first lesson or heard it read this morning, it was almost as though we could have said, once upon a time. That's the kind of image it gives for us. I want you to listen to it one more time. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We ought to stand in awe of that place. All together, all things in common. They attended the temple together. They broke bread together. Their hearts were generous. They praised God and they looked upon one another with favor. And their numbers grew. It's almost a utopia, or at least it appears. A glimpse into the window of the early church. It seems quite unreal when you look around the world in which we find ourselves. The church was a bustling community of activity. They had a vibrant worship life. Tremendous generosity to all. All members of the body appeared to be doing something, and they all had their place. Could we say that about the church today? Could we say that about our own church today? Could we say that about the followers of Jesus Christ as we live out our lives in the 21st century? The scene seems to be lacking something. It's lacking all the problems that seem to hold us back day in and day out. There is no utopia, we would say. Jerusalem was touched by what was happening. Many were influenced by the signs and the wonders that they had seen and what the ministry of the apostles was. An aha moment. At least for me to be able to have served in a community like that. It was a moment in time. But we need to return to reality. It's not the picture of the church today. The reality is that the world in which we find ourselves is spiraling out of control. difficult to distinguish the church from the world. And that's a rather bold statement, but I think we need to take it to heart. It is difficult in this world today to distinguish the church from the world. How do we witness? How do we share the good news of the gospel when we are surrounded with so much chaos? We get caught up in the chaos. In fact, we oftentimes must plead guilty as being a part of those who feed the chaos of the world in which we find ourselves. The church in our society is facing growing opposition from the world. And the reality is that for many people in the world, they have no concept of what the church or the Christian community really is. And here we are, North American Christians, and we too are finding it's difficult to really become accustomed to what we really ought to be. We struggle to deal with the reality of life issues. And here we have this beautiful scene from the book of Acts. Luke does not describe a church here without issues or problems, but he shows us a church that was centered around the good news of the gospel. As you read further into the book, you will find the early church dealing with a variety of issues. In chapter 4, for instance, hostility arises against the church. Then in chapter 5, the church faces scandal. Chapter 6, Greek-speaking widows complain of discrimination. And if you keep reading, there will be more and more things that we could see in that early church that wasn't this utopia. In fact, Luke could have been describing the church of our day. And you see, what's beautiful in the midst of the Easter season is we have this Sunday that's sort of dropped into the Easter season called Good Shepherd Sunday. Yes, a Savior, one who came, who shepherds the sheep, who laid down his life for the sheep. Moving from the reading in Acts, we pass through the epistle from 1 Peter 2, where there we hear, "For this gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of our God." Wow. Peter hits it on the nail there for us. That's the point of Easter. Are we going to go through life without the sorrows, the temptations, without all the things we see around us? No, that's not reality. That's why the Good Shepherd came. That's why we can say the beautiful words of Psalm 23. And we love those words. The psalmist tells us we lack nothing. If you read the psalm in this morning, or if you look at Psalm 23, you get that same picture. In the midst of the chaotic world in which we find ourselves, we have a God who prepares a table for us. The gospel tells us the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. And they follow him. You know, when we think of sheep, and if you've been around sheep, they're not really what you call the brightest set of animals on earth. I didn't want to use another word, okay? But isn't it amazing? They know the voice of the shepherd, and they follow him. Because when I use that about they weren't the brightest, you know, sometimes we have to be careful because Having said that, I'm not implying that you and I are. Okay, don't go there. The reality is that sometimes we don't think. We don't really consider what it is to be a child of God. We need to be listening to the voice of our shepherd, knowing that he laid down his life for us. There's a beautiful scene for us to consider, where there we read in the gospel, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up. This charge I have received from my Father. What an amazing text that really is. That in the midst of this chaotic world, in the midst of all the tensions or things that are surrounding your lives as you enter God's sanctuary this morning, know that you have a shepherd who loves you. A shepherd who laid down his life for his church. That window or picture we get of the early church in Acts 2 is a beautiful picture as they centered around the breaking of bread, being together. Word and sacrament ministry happening in the lives of people. They were devoted to one another. What a concept! That you and I would be devoted to one another. That's what we really ought to be about. We would overlook those things that come between us and against us. And I'm reminded of that great Lenten hymn, My Song is Love Unknown. God has always loved us. Always will love us. We are His people. Both those who come to Him, but even those who reject Him, He created. He created them in love. Here is that love to a fallen world, to a world crying out with all kinds of issues. And we in the church sometimes don't get it. Or we in the church sometimes are a part of that chaos as we take up our positions and hold fast to them. Rather than going to the Word and seeing what the Word has to say for us, I love this Sunday in the midst of the Easter season to be able to talk about the Good Shepherd. Our lives need to be connected to Him. For He has done it all for each one of us. Take a hold of the Good Shepherd. Make Him your strong connection to everything you do, for here is your salvation. The church and the world, yes, they're troubling places. But even though we have this glimpse from Acts 2, we also know, while it appeared to be utopia, it was not. They too had their problems. Their issues, the tensions. Yes, the beauty of it all is that that is the world in which we find ourselves. That is the world in which we have always been a part of. Since the fall in the garden, sin has affected our relationship to God. It may appear in that one little glimpse of this utopia place that everything was hunky-dory, good, and true. But if you look around you, in the reality of where you find yourself in time and place, it certainly doesn't make much sense. But in God's timing and in God's place, it does make perfect sense. Here is love. God's unconditional love for His creation. Unconditional love that is shared with every human being. It is that love, as you come into this sanctuary today, that ought to be a part of your life. It is that love where we will come to share at a table, where we will break bread, eat His body, and drink His blood. A love that covers your life, your sins, and calls you into fellowship. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. What good news that is for you and I to be able to come together and to see one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, first of all, loved by our God, and then living that love to one another. Yes, we have something special in this place. We bring our sinful everyday existence into the presence of an eternal God who surrounds us, not only in His love today, but every day. Amen.